Okay. Welcome, everybody, to week 8 of Koheles, 8 out of a planned 11. As I said last week, the goal is to finish more or less on time, meaning that we're not going to be able to do June 27th. That date, I think, will not work for me. So we'll do July 4th as the last date. You will also be glad to know that school here is now over. They're in exams, which are all in the morning, and therefore we won't get all the hallway noise. So you may miss that. I don't know how you feel about that, but that won't be here anymore. Okay, so what I want to do now is, we saw last week the words Hevel and Amal as references to futility and to struggle, the possibility that Amal in some case refers to wrongdoing. So what we want to talk about today, or start talking about today, are the emotions that come from that Ruach Ra'ah, from that Hevel and Amal. We'll be looking at Ruach Ra'ah. Some of you in my Shmuel Shiurim are familiar with that term. We'll be talking about it in terms of how it shows up in Koheles. Ka'as is definitely there. And then ultimately, what I want to get to is talking about Simcha and Tzchok. You know, we may start on that this week. We'll see. And for those who have been looking for where Koheles gives advice, like what does he want us to do? When we get to the Simcha and Tzchok area, we'll see advice. We'll see what Koheles thinks we ought to be doing. So, we start with the downside, because it wouldn't be Koheles if we didn't. With the Ruach Ra'ah and Ka'as. So we start with Ruach Ra'ah. And whereas with Hevel and Amal, I did comparisons to where it shows up outside of Koheles in Tanakh, I'm not going to do that as much here. Ruach Ra'ah, in the context of Koheles, where it appears at least 9 times in one form or another, refers to frustration with the Hevelness, if I could coin a word, Hevelness of everything. You see how everything is Hevel, futile, evanescent, and you react with a level of frustration. Ruach Ra'ah shows up elsewhere in Tanakh in ways that relate to frustration too. I gave you source number 1 on the sheet. One is in Shoftim chapter 9. The other is in Shmuel chapter 16 and a lot after that. The one in Shoftim chapter 9 is the story of Avimelech. You may remember Avimelech was the one who had 70 siblings, 69, 70 half-siblings, and he had them murdered in order that he should become the ruler, at least the local ruler, if not the national ruler. That's a little bit unclear. But Hashem sends discontent between Avimelech and his supporters from the city of Shechem, leading to a falling out between them. And that discontent is Ruach Ra'ah. Literally, Ruach Ra'ah, if I had to translate it, a bad spirit, as though that explains anything. But it's some level of frustration. Then you get to the usage in Shmuel. And again, the Shmuel learners know this very well. Shaul is Melech, he is the king. Then he loses that position. Shmuel anoints David. And we're told at that point that the Ruach Hashem, Hashem's spirit, is manifest on David. And Shaul experiences Ruach Ra'ah, which Abarbanel famously says is some kind of melancholy depression that comes from losing Hashem's imminency. Making associations with a mental illness with somebody in Tanakh who we don't know and don't know nearly enough about is irresponsible. I'm not about to start diagnosing. But what's very clear is that there is an element of frustration involved when Shaul, who had access to God, suddenly loses that access. Most Mefarshim, most commentators read Ruach Ra'ah as frustration here as well. So as an example of that, take a look in Koheles at chapter 1, sentence 14. Chapter 1, We're going to get a workout with all the Ruach Ra'ah references. I gave them to you in number 4, and we're going to go through them. But right now, we'll just look at chapter 1, sentence 14. This is from the beginning of the book, when Shlomo says, I've looked around and it's all Hevel, right? So he says, Ra'isi es kol ha-ma'asim shena'asu tachas ha-shamesh. I saw all the deeds that were done under the sun. V'hinei ha-kol Hevel u'ru'us ruach. Everything is Hevel and Ru'us Ruach. Ru'us Ruach, Rashi on your sheet in source number 2, Shever Ruach, a broken spirit. Kemo, Ro'u Amim V'chatu, join together nations and be crushed. So Rashi is reading Ro'u there as join, not Ro'u there, like Ro'eh, not to mean literally breaking, but he says Ruach Ra'ah, Ru'us Ruach, is shever ruach, ra, meaning break in our sense here. So it's a breaking of the spirit, is the way Rashi reads it. Ibn Ezra goes a different route. I know you'll be shocked to know. Ibn Ezra reads it not as an emotional state at all. He says it's another way to say that something is useless. You call it hevel, or you call it Ruach Ra'ah. It's the uselessness of the wind, which cannot be grasped and has no substance. Take a look at Ibn Ezra, number 3. Kemo Ephraim ro'eh ruach v'rodef kadim. He quotes you Hosea. Ephraim shepherds the wind and pursues the east wind. Shelo yo'il v'lo yasbia. The wind does not benefit, it doesn't satisfy. Vinyan ruach kamo hevel. It's like hevel. Ba'avur rubei tachbul. It should be. That's very funny. Oh, tahaluchosav. I read it wrong. Ba'avur rubei tahaluchosav shalo yuchal adam lisofso biyad. Because it goes everywhere and you can't grasp it in hand. You're never going to get the wind. You're never going to take control of the wind. So it means something that is useless. There's a lot to support what Ibn Ezra is saying in the sense that the 9 usages of Ruach Ra'ah in Koheles, 7 of them appear alongside the word Hevel, and the 8th with Amal. So it stands to reason that you would just say these are a set. These are descriptions of things that are futile and upsetting. But frankly, it could just as easily support Rashi's read. Right, it could support Rashi to say that it's about a broken spirit just as much. But here's the key. As I wrote in the heading in source number 4, in Koheles, everything leads to Ruach Ra'ah. We just saw, chapter 1, sentence 14, all deeds performed under the sun. Everything. It's all Hevel or Ru'us Ruach. Similarly, flip ahead to chapter 2, sentence 17. He says, V'saneisi es hachayim. He says, I hate life. Ki ra olai ha-ma'aseh shenasa tachas ha-shamesh. Everything that is done under the sun, it's all bad. Ki akol hevel ru'us ruach. Everything is hevel and ru'us ruach. He sounds a little adolescent there, honestly. Not to insult Koheles, but it's just that air of, I saw it all, and it's all terrible. That kind of a conclusion. But he's not only making global statements. He also says it regarding specific pursuits. Go backward in the book to chapter 1, sentence 17, where he talks about his efforts to amass wisdom. So he says, "V'etna libi ladas chokma v'das holelos v'sichlus." He says, "I set my heart to know chokma, to know wisdom, and to know holelos v'sichlus. I wanted to know everything, to know emptiness, to know foolishness." Yadati shegam zehu ra'ayon ruach. This too is ra'ayon ruach, another term, another version of this ru'us ruach, ruach Ra'ah. The search for knowledge, very frustrating. Chapter 2, sentence 11. He says, now he's not speaking about the search for knowledge, now he's talking about work.
Ufanisi ani b'chol ma'asai she'asu yadai. I turn to all of my deeds that I performed. Ube'amal she'amalti la'asos. And the struggle that I worked to perform. V'hine hakol hevel urus ruach. V'ein yisroon tachas hashamesh. All of the work that I did, it's all hevel. Hang on one second, Ricky. I want to take us through the list, and then we can have questions and comments. Jump to chapter 4, sentences 4 and 6. Also talking about deeds. He says, V'ra'isi ani es kol amal. I saw all the amal, the struggle, V'es kol kishrona ma'aseh, and all of the good accomplishments. Ki kinas ish me'reyehu. It's all a product of one person being jealous of somebody else. That's what motivates them. We talked about that last week, as I recall. Gamze hevel ru'us ruach. There it is again. Hevel and ru'us ruach. And two sentences later, sentence 6. Tov melochaf nachas. Better for you to have a handful of nachas. A handful of satisfaction. Mimelochaf nayim amal ru'us ruach. As opposed to having a double handful of amal. And again, ru'us ruach. Which is what comes with not being satisfied. So he says everything is frustrating, all deeds are frustrating, the search for knowledge is frustrating, work is frustrating, but he's not done. I'm going a little quickly, I just wanted to get you through the list. Chapter 2, sentence 26. This is a great pasuk, which until I had to teach Koheles, I never really grasped, because the grammar is funny. In this sentence, the last sentence in chapter 2. Kila adam shetov lefanav, nasan chokhma vidas v'simcha. He's talking about God. And he says, to the person who is good before God, to the person God likes, he gave chokhma, wisdom, das, and simcha. V'lachote, and to the person who sins, Nasan inyan la'esof v'lichnos. He gives the person an interest in collecting, in trying to amass wealth. La'seis l'tov l'fnei ha'elokim. So that person will give it to the person who is good in God's eyes. So what Shlomo is saying is, the people who God likes, he gives them wisdom and he gives them simcha, which we have to come back to. To the person who sins, God sends a desire to amass wealth in order for the wealth to go to the person God likes in the end. And his observation on all of that, gamze hevel ru'us ruach. That's also ru'us ruach. I get frustrated by that also. Two left on our list. Chapter 4, sentence 16. Monarchy. Chapter 4, he has this discussion about kings and the kind of king you want and how you don't want the king who is an older man and a fool. You'd be better off with a kid. You'd be better off with a pauper. And then he says, I hate to tell you this, but no one appreciates the king. He says, nobody likes the king. Yeah, a little autobiography there. He says, Ein keitz l'chol ha'am l'chol asher haya lefneihem gam ha'acharonim lo yismichuvo. They're not going to like this king. They didn't like the old king, and they don't like the later king either. The reference to the earlier and later is in the previous verse, the Yelad Hasheni, the successor of the old king. But they don't like the first king. They don't like the second king. Ki gam zeh hevel v'ra'ayon ruach. And one more time. Chapter 6, sentence 9, human desire. He says, Tov mar'ei einayim mehalach nafesh. He says, better to have something that you can see in front of you, right here, in front of you, as opposed to having to go after your spirit to go find something. Gamze hevel urus ruach. Because running after things, wanting things, that's also
Hevel Urus Ruach. So to sum up what we've said in the first 15 minutes here, we've already said, saw last week and the week before, that the world is futile, temporary, evanescent, here and gone, doesn't last, Hevel. We saw that you spend an awful lot of time working really, really hard in this world, and it's not really worth the struggle, and that's Amal. And what he says now is, therefore, everything, all deeds, broken down to the search for knowledge, work, the even work that leads to products that better people will get, everything, it's all ru'us ruach, it's all just frustrating. Speaking of frustrating, thank you for waiting. Ricky, what did you want to say?
First of all, about Shaul, I always felt that his ruach was depression. And one of the definitions of depression is suppressed anger. So that's how I thought when you're depressed, you don't really think very clearly. In this case, ruach, heaven is also the breath that comes out. It's also air going out. So ruach is also like air. And ra'ah just means that it's not letovah.
Right, so definitely you can make the Hevel breath and Ruach breath association, if you like. The issue with Shaul is, so blatantly frustration-based in that it's tied to his lack of access to God. That's explicit in the text that drives him into it. That I'm very comfortable with Rashi's explanation here of the broken spirit, which you can call depression for sure. I really stay away from applying a modern psychological term to something that you're finding in a figure in Tanakh. I just don't think it's so useful. Okay, so now either everybody's frozen or I am frozen, and odds are it's going to be me. Can anybody hear me? Other comments on ruach, ra'ah, ru'us ruach, ra'yon ruach? No, we're good? Okay. Yes, Janine.
Just the word rayon in modern Hebrew means idea. It is not used that way in Nach, I assume.
No, not that I've ever seen. Rayon ruach here, it seems very clear, is in context certainly, to mean, from ra, as in bad or broken. Okay, so we go from Ruach Ra'ah to Ka'as. Ka'as, of course, we always translate Ka'as as anger, right? Anger, which is born of frustration, right? Generally speaking, that's the root of anger. But it may be useful sometimes. Ka'as may be useful sometimes. So Ka'as shows up a lot in Tanakh, and I'm not, as I said, going through all the usages of it in Tanakh. But in Koheles, it appears in six different passages, and Koheles's evaluation of Ka'as is different in different places. It creates great confusion. I gave you in source number 5 the references. Take a look first at chapter 1, sentence 18. This is the very end of chapter 1, where, remember what chapter 1 is all about, right? It's his observations, what he has seen when he tried to amass wisdom. So he says, Ki berov chochma, rov ka'as. V'yosif das, yosif ma'ov. The smarter you get, the angrier you get. Right? That's a fair statement. Wisdom leads to ka'as. However, take a look at chapter 7, sentence 9. In which he says, give people a second to get there. Al tivahel beruchacha lichos. Don't be hasty in getting angry. Because anger rests in the heart of the fool. So you first told me wisdom makes you angry. Now you're telling me that foolishness makes you angry. It's a fool's trait. Now, that could just be because everybody gets angry. But right now, he's giving me opposing directions. If you go back now to chapter 2, sentence 23, towards the end of chapter 2, he describes how people suffer in this world and they work so hard in this world and they struggle pointlessly. He says, Kimeho vela adam becholam alo uvrayon liboshu amel tachas hashamesh. That was from sentence 22. What does a person get from all of his struggle? All of this rayon libo, which I think is another form of that ruach ra'ah that we're talking about. I didn't actually have it on my list, but I should have had it on my list. That's a 10th use. What do you know? In any case, ki kol yamav mach ovim, because all of a person's days are pain, machov, ke'ev. V'cha'as inyano, you know what his affairs are? Anger. Gam ba'layla lo shachav libo, even at night his heart doesn't rest. Gam ze hevel hu, and of course, in the end, this is hevel also. Also in this vein, that all your pursuits give you ka'as. Take a look at chapter 5, sentence 16. If misery loves company, you should read this when you're not feeling well. You know, it's just like you get to commiserate. Gam kol yamav b'choshech yochel v'chas harbei v'chol yo v'chatzef. He's talking about the misery of human existence. A person goes his entire life in darkness and with great chaos and illness and ketzef. Ketzef being another version of this anger. So it's produced by wisdom, it's produced by foolishness, it's produced by pointless struggle. Everything, all roads lead to chaos, is effectively what I'm hearing him say. However, here's an interesting thing. Take a look at chapter 7, sentence 3. Just a little bit further ahead. Tov chaos misichok. Kivaroa panim yitav leiv. How do you like that? He says, better to have ka'as than to have schok. We're going to have to translate schok when we get to simcha. But I'm going to take schok right now as an expression of simcha. Simcha is an emotional state. You express it with schok. So he says, ka'as, frustration, anger is better for you than expressing simcha. Why? Kivaro panim yitav leiv. Because when you're upset, that actually will improve your heart. So, in this version of things, we are better off when we are angry. However, jump to chapter 11, sentence 10, and you get a different picture. Advice from Koheles. I told you we were going to get some advice today. Here's some advice. The end of chapter 11. Right before chapter 12, where he describes death. He says, V'haser ka'as milibecha. Remove ka'as from your heart. V'ha'aver ra'am mibisarecha. And by doing that, you will remove bad from your flesh. Ki hal yaldus v'hashacharus havel. Because immaturity is hevel. So you should get rid of anger and you will be much better off. The implication is that anger is a product of immaturity, which honestly it often is. And he says, you're better off if you are not angry. So now I don't understand. Is anger a product of wisdom? Is anger a product of foolishness? Is anger good for you because it helps improve you? Is anger bad for you? I don't know. We saw the Gemara in Shabbos. If you take a look at source number 6, address this problem. This was one of the classic contradictions, internal contradictions found in Koheles, which the Gemara picked up on. Take a look there in number 6. Umay devarav sosrin ze et ze. Where do we see that the words of Koheles contradict each other? Ksiv tov kas misachok. It says kas is better than sachok, which I translated here as laughter. Uchsiv l'schok amarti meholal. And it also says, of laughter, I said it is to be praised. Not I saw, I said, that's a typo, it is to be praised. So, in one it says, anger is better. In the other one it says, laughter is good. Ksiv, v'shibachti enyasa simcha. In one case it says, I have praised joy. I'm translating simcha as joy there. I'm going to retranslate that when we get to simcha. Uchsiv ulesimcha mazo osa. And it also says, what good is joy? How do we deal with this problem? So the Gemara deals with it via approach number one. Remember, we had three different approaches to the book. The first approach to the book is to say that since the book's overall message is to promote Torah, retranslate everything you see to lead to a consistent message promoting what the Torah wants you to do. So with that in mind, we will explain. Tov kas misachok, better to have anger than laughter. Tov kas shekoyes HaKadosh Baruch Hu ala tzedikim ba'olam hazeh. Misachok shemisachek HaKadosh Baruch Hu ala rishayim ba'olam hazeh. The anger of God upon the righteous in this world when he causes them to suffer is better than God's laughter upon the wicked in this world. You're better off being zapped in this world for whatever things you've done wrong, then God saying, I don't want to bother with him. Let him be. Let him have a good time. You're better off not having a good time. You're better off with God punishing you or improving you in some way. That's consistent with approach number one. But the bottom line is that the Gemara recognizes the problem and gives its own resolution. Rabbi Avram ibn Ezra. But everyone clear on what we've said so far about Kaas? We follow? Okay. So Ibn Ezra offers insight, somewhat reflected in Professor Zer Kavod in Olam HaTanach, not Olam HaTanach, excuse me, in the Dat Mikra as well. He says, Kaas is an emotional state caused by frustration, not unlike what we said about Ruach Ra'ah. And he says that this state can come about from different causes. He says, we have three competing spirits in us. We're going to read this together and you'll tell me what this reminds you of. Take a look, number 7. Asim Shemos Lahem. He says, I'm going to assign names to the three spirits that are in a person. Laman lo arich b'torah kol achas. I don't have to go on at length describing each one every time. I'm just going to give it a name. There are three different spirits that inhabit a human being, and these are via Hashem hanefesh hamisavel le'achol v'lismoach v'cheshek hamishagel or mishgal nefesh. He says one of them is called nefesh, and that is the spirit which desires to eat, to drink. To eat, to rejoice, and to engage in sexual relations. That's called nefesh in a person. V'yiyah shem nefesh ba'alasa hargasha hamavakeshes srara gdula ruach. Then you have a spirit called ruach, and that's the one that feels things and that wants to be in power. And then v'yiyah shem nefesh hachachama neshama. The nefesh that is wise, that's neshama. And he says Rav Sadji Gaon also made such a distinction between the three. What does this sort of sound like to you in psychology?
Freudian?
Yeah.
Ego, head ego and superego.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. So he says,
what is the neshama, please?
He says it's the wise spirit. I mean, you can see it there in number 7. The spirit of Chochmah is Neshama. So he says there's a competition going inside. You have a problem. The problem is that the neshama has things it wants you to do, but the nefesh is much stronger than the neshama. So the neshama and the ruach team up against the nefesh, but that dilutes the purity of the neshama. Take a look. It's the second paragraph in source number 7. He says, V'yadua, it is known. Huh, didn't you know? He says it's known. Ki v'hisgaber ha-nefesh techalesh ha-neshama. He says, when the nefesh gets more powerful, then the neshama is weakened. Ve'ein la-koach la-mod lefaneha, and it can't stand before the nefesh. Ba'avur heyosa guf v'chol yitzra vozrimosa, because after all, the human being is in a body. And all of the different forces of the body, the hungers of the body, the hormones of the body, all of it are working on behalf of the nefesh. Alkein, therefore, hamisaseik ba'achila u'shesia lo yechkam la'olam. Somebody who just feeds the nefesh, eating and drinking, so he's never going to nourish the neshama. U'bihischaber ha'neshama im haruach, tenatzchena ha'nefesh. When the neshama and the ruach join forces, when human ambition joins with the human desire for spiritual growth, then they are able to overpower the nefesh. Az tipakachna ma'at einei ha'neshama, then the eyes of the neshama will be opened a bit. Lahavin chochmos hagvios, to understand at least the more physical types of chachma, the more mundane types of chachma. Lachein lo sucha lo das ha chachmos ha elyonos, but that's why the neshama can't attain the higher chachma. Bavur koach ha ruach ha mevakesh esrara vihi ha molida hakaz, because the problem is that the ruach is too ambitious. It's looking for power in this world. It's not looking for higher development. Your ambition, your ambitious power, is also biased. And he says, this conflict is what results in kas. That's why people get frustrated. And that's why wise people will get angry and foolish people will get angry. One second, Ricky. I want you to make sure everybody hears this. Failure to achieve pleasure makes you angry. Failure to achieve ambitions and goals makes you angry. On the other hand, Chachma is angry when it sees Hevel. Right? Everything is going to ultimately be frustrated because you have this separation of powers inside where each of the powers is not able to get what it wants, and therefore it ends in anger. It ends in chaos. Yes, Ricky.
Now I understand why we are banning et gufenu in Yom Kippur. We are lowering, we are not giving the body pleasures, so that at least that part of it, mm-hmm. And then we're not allowed to work, so that's the ambitious part of it, so that we are more going towards the
issue. Right. I think you're right. I think that's definitely a piece at Lenny. I mean, there are a lot of layers of meaning in the fasting of Yom Kippur, but I think that probably is one of them. I would agree with that. Rose?
But don't you think that there's actually, you know, when they talk about it, even humanity is a balance. And anger is positive if it's productive. It's not always productive. It's like when you get attacked or surviving. You have to be angry to be able to survive. If you're passive, you just do nothing, right? So it's like a slide. And so, it has to be a balance. And although it's inside you, I think it's the will to survive. I mean, us as Jews, of all people, I mean, we have that anger inside of us that allows us to move forward. And
so I would say a couple of things. Number one, I would say that I'll do it in this order. I agree with you that explains the different recommendations we're seeing in Koheles. And Ibn Ezra says that. Meaning, when Koheles said in chapter 11, sentence 10, V'haser kas milibecha, get anger out of your heart, he's talking about the anger felt by the nefesh. The anger of, I didn't get my hamburger. The anger of, I wanted power. Those types of anger, he's saying, get those out of your heart. Whereas, he said in chapter 7, sentence 3, which we had just seen, Tov ka'as misachok, anger is better than this expression of simcha because it will be good for your heart, meaning your seichel, meaning your intellect, when it's the frustration of the neshama. Or even the frustration of the ruach, actually, the way he presents it. But he says, you still can't let it sit. It has to only be temporary. And here I come back to the other point that I wanted to make in response, Rose. This is a problem of semantics, but it's semantics that matter. The word anger is used in a lot of different ways. And you can't equate the word kas in Hebrew, and certainly in biblical Hebrew, and the way we use the word anger today. There are certain negative connotations to anger in terms of its destructiveness, which I don't think are indicated by kaas as it's being used here. So when you talk about it potentially being a positive, productive force, I prefer to leave it in the word kaas as opposed to the word anger, which we know, unfortunately, doesn't tend to lead people where they want to go. Right, it tends to have a power of its own, and it's a generally an undermining type of a power. So I wouldn't want to. It's the problem of language. We're going to see the same thing when we do simcha and happiness. We're going to see the same problem. Other thoughts on kaas? Wow, we made it through rach, ra, and kaas. Awesome, that's good. It opens the door for simcha. Anything else on kaas before we move to the happy side? Literally. Yes, Gita?
There's a pasuk, I seem to think it's in Pirkei Avot, where it says, better to be in a shiva than in a simcha.
That's Koheles. Tov leches al beis eva, mi leches al beis mishte.
Oh, gosh.
You are right.
Did we cover that very sentence, this trip?
Not today.
No. Okay.
It's going to come up in the discussion of Simcha.
Okay.
Yeah, it's such a long book. Like, I don't blame you.